One of my favorite Christmas activities is to decorate the Christmas tree. And so on Friday evening, finally, myself and Buddy the Elf, Father Farrell, and I finally decorated our rectory Christmas tree. And most of the ornaments we have are religious kinds of ornaments. I have a few that my grandmother, and I only had one grandmother that I knew, my mom's mom, has given to me over the years. And one's very special. It's very precious because on it is taped a little piece of paper that says, "My first Christmas with my Paul, December 25th, 1921. Paul being my grandfather, who sadly died at the age of 36. But it's very precious, and all these great memories come back. But have you ever wondered, why do we have Christmas trees? Why do we have Christmas trees in our church? Good reason. Take our minds back. Go back to about the year 730 to Germany. And there on Christmas Eve that year, St. Boniface and some of his fellow monks were walking along the old Roman road through Bavaria. The snow had fallen. The moon was full. The moonlight glistened on the snow. It was a cold night, so they could see their breath in the air. They were on a special mission, though. St. Boniface was a missionary, and he had heard that the people of the little town of Geismar still believed in the old pagan god Thor. So his job was to bring Christ to those people. As they walked along, St. Boniface remembered so many happy Christmases that he had back in his home country of England, where he was a Benedictine monk in Winchester, and where he had also served as the schoolmaster of the Abbey School. Because of his abilities, he had been asked to be a missionary to the German people, and then was consecrated as a bishop by Pope Gregory II. So there's St. Boniface, dressed in his bishop's regalia, walking through with his monks, heading towards the town. Well, they reached Geismar, and the town was all quiet and dark. No lights in the windows. You could hear the dogs barking, the horses whinnowing, but they really had come to a quiet, vacated town. But they heard some voices, so they followed this path that led through the woods to this open clearing. There they saw all the townspeople surrounding this huge bonfire. Sparks were leaping in the air. There, at one part, was the priest, Hunrad, the priest of Thor. In front of him was the stone altar, and there was the bonfire. Behind him was the sacred oak of Thor, the oak of Geismar. So silence came over the crowd. St. Boniface said, "We've come in peace." And Hunrad said, "We welcome you." So they joined the crowd. With that, Hunrad began this preaching. He said, "Our god Thor is angry at us." And with that, he brought down his holy hammer. And he said, "For this reason, our cattle no longer are fertile. Our crops have failed. Hunting is scarce. Sickness has taken the lives of so many in our village. Thor demands a sacrifice. He demands a sacrifice of one of us, the most fairest one, the one whose blood will feed the tree, the sacred oak, and then prosperity will return." So they picked the fairest little boy, who was the son of the duke, and they took him, bound him with ropes, put him on that stone altar. Hunrad began all these incantations, and he's ready to bring down his hammer right on the little boy's head when St. Boniface stepped forward, and with his bishop's crozier whacked the arm of Hunrad. He dropped the hammer, and Boniface said, "Tonight there will be no sacrifice. Tonight is the birthday of the true God, Jesus Christ. For on this night, Jesus, true God, who became true man, was born of the Virgin Mary, who had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." He then held up his crucifix and he said, "Here now is the wood of the cross. Here is the tree of life. For it is Christ who does not take our blood. It is Christ who gave his blood for our salvation. It is Christ who offered the sacrifice for our sins and rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. And with that, St. Boniface took an axe, and with this miraculous strength, he hit the oak tree, it split in two, and behind it was a fir tree, about 10 feet tall. St. Boniface said, "Now look, there is going to be our tree, the tree of Christmas. For there is a tree whose branches reach up to the heavens. There is a tree that is evergreen, showing the everlasting life that Christ promises us." So they cut down the tree, they took it to the village, they set it up in the hall of the Duke, then they put little candles on it that twinkled like the stars. The monks sang. Eventually, St. Boniface read the same gospel passage that we just heard. At the end of the evening, the Duke stood and he said, "Let us thank Almighty God for having received such a gift, the gift of Jesus, the Savior of the world, our Savior too." Well, my brothers and sisters, this is an important part of our Catholic tradition. This is why we have Christmas trees. But as you look at your Christmas tree, whether it's at home or even here at church, ponder the mystery. Ponder what that tree signifies, because in a way, it's supposed to be like our lives. When we look at that tree, we ought to be able to see ourselves. That tree, that fir tree, that Christmas tree, sometimes surrounded by darkness, secularism, paganism, but nevertheless, that tree. And like a tree, the fir tree, that has deep roots, the strong trunk that reaches up to the heavens, so must our lives be. Our lives need to be rooted in Christ. St. Paul said, "Be rooted in him." So our lives have to be rooted in the truth of Jesus, which we find in the Bible, sacred scripture, the Word of God. Our lives need to be rooted in the teachings of our church, that ongoing teaching since the time of the apostles. We find that in our catechism. Our lives need to be rooted in the lives of the saints, for they show us how to live our life in any day and age. And yes, our trunk has to be strong in this day and age. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to Titus, he says, "Reject godless ways and worldly desires. Live temperately, justly, and devoutly." That's how we're called to live, not to give in and sway with the times, to have that strong trunk. And yes, to reach up, just as the trunk tapers off, pointing to heaven, just as the tree points to heaven, it shows us our priorities. God's first, then your marriage, then your family, and then everything else. You can't turn the tree upside down and expect it to live. We can't turn our lives upside down and expect us to survive. No, God first, marriage, family, everything else. And with the tree, we look and see those branches that reach out, they reach upward towards heaven, they're very pliable. So should be our life, in the sense that our life should be reaching up to heaven. We use our arms to praise God. Each day, take time to pray. The gift of Christmas, Jesus, is meant to be known, to be lived each day. Jesus offers us life, but how can we live life with him if we don't take time to be with him? And that's what prayer is, taking time to share our life with our Lord each day. And our arms should reach out, just like the arms of Mary who presented Jesus to others, whether the shepherds or the magi. Our arms, too, should be reaching out to others, making Jesus known. Just as the arms of Saint Joseph gave protection, provided for the family, so should our arms be caring for those entrusted to our care. And also, reaching out to care for those who are the poor, the needy, those who are the suffering, the marginalized, those who are the elderly. Yes, those who are oftentimes forgotten in our world, seen as insignificant, we reach out to them and bring Christ. And yes, our arms need to have that flexibility. When the snow comes down on the little fir tree, the branches bend. But the snow eventually melts, and they go back up. But they don't break. And so it should be for us. We know at times we carry very heavy burdens in this life, many responsibilities. Yet Jesus is with us. And that's the message of this tree, that Jesus is with us to keep us pliable. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulder, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden light." When we share our life and our burdens with our Lord, we know we won't break, we won't collapse, Christ will be with us, we'll spring up. And then lastly, too, that we look at the fir tree and we see that evergreen branches, everlasting life. That life we can have now. We can have it at each Mass. So at this Mass, we offer bread and wine, and our sacrifice participates in the everlasting, ever-living sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. Sacramentally, we represent his passion, death, resurrection. And that bread and wine is transubstantiated into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Remember what Jesus said, though. "I'm the living bread come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." And so, the everlasting life is a promise that is fulfilled now at every Mass. And that's why Christmas is Christ's Mass. And so, my brothers and sisters, we learn so much from this beautiful Catholic tradition, but we ought to look and see our lives in the same way. Saint Boniface, great saint, his name comes from the Latin words bonum facere, which means make good. So let's make good this Christmas. Let's make good on living Christmas each day. Let's make good on living Christmas each day with our Lord and sharing our life with him. May God bless you.